We turn in the red book to number 45. And I understand that Marge is going to play this to a different tune than what's in the book, but hopefully we can. Sounds familiar to us. Let's look to the Lord before we get started here. Our Father, we just would thank you this day for your rich grace that you've shown to us in your Son. We just thank you for Him. We just thank you for the life that we have in Him. We just thank you for the life that He laid down for us on our behalf. And we just would thank you for the privilege of being able to speak His name. And so we ask for your blessing this afternoon on your word. And we just pray that you'd bless it to all of us. And we ask these things now in our Savior's name. Amen. Well, we're going to start in the same place where Dave started us off this morning, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 1. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, when He comes into the world, He says, "Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God." After saying above, "Sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law," then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices that can never take away sin. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sin for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. We'll stop there. Here we have, in the book of Hebrews, the old and the new. And I don't wish to spend a lot of time talking about that today, but I want to talk about the privilege that we have as believers, that is ours, that is new. It's new for us to look back at the cross and see a permanent sacrifice for sin. When we look back at the Old Testament, we see offerings made continuously. Offerings that can't take away sin. They're only a picture. They're only a picture of the true sacrifice for sin that was yet to come. And today we can look back at that cross of Christ and we can see it accomplished once and for all. And so we stand on different ground than those Old Testament saints. because we look back at an accomplished redemption. And because of that, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility as priests. And we can learn from history, because history is a great teacher. And we can also learn God's ways in dealing with His people of old and His dealings with us today. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, and coming to Him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Stop there. He starts out in this passage that tells us that we are priests. As believers, we are priests. We have a holy priesthood. And when he starts this out, he tells us, therefore, putting aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. He wouldn't tell us that we need to put that away if we didn't have some issues with it. These are words that we need to hear. We need to take these words to heart. We are prone to all of this. Let's keep our fingers here for a minute. Let's turn to the book of Malachi. It's in the Old Testament. It's the last book of the Old Testament. And we're going to learn a lesson here. Verse 1 of Malachi chapter 2. And now this commandment is for you, O priests. Okay. Let's remember, we're back in the Old Testament here. And this is education for the priests. They had priests then. They were a select chosen class. And they had responsibilities that went with it. And we just read in Peter that we are priests. Each and every one of us in this room that has come to Christ and looked to Him as our Savior, our priest, male or female, doesn't matter. Different roles, different functions, but priests nonetheless. But we can learn something by looking at the priests of the Old Testament. And this is one of those passages in Malachi. Now, this commandment is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. Behold, I am going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your feasts, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of the priests should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. There's several key things in this passage that stand out to me. The first one is listen. Listen. If you do not listen, we need to listen to what the Lord has to say to us. If you do not take it to heart to honor, to give honor to my name, listen to the word of the Lord and give honor to his name. If we don't, there's a curse coming. It's the same today as it was then. In verse 6, or verse 7, the lips of the priest should preserve knowledge. The lips of the priest should preserve knowledge. And men should seek instruction from his lips. There should be good stuff coming out of what we say. For he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. So we have this responsibility to lay aside all these things mentioned about in Peter, to seek instruction from the Lord, and to properly revere and honor the name of the Lord, and seek to instruct. That's a responsibility for each and every one of us. Back in 1 Peter, verse 6, for this is contained in the Scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumbled because they were disobedient to the word, and to this doom they are appointed. But you are a chosen race, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we know that stone as the cornerstone of the church, Jesus Christ. And we are little stones built upon that stone, building up this spiritual house. And that is a precious possession that we have in knowing the Lord. But the Lord is also a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And that's why, that's just one reason why it is important that we properly represent Him to the world. But our job here is to proclaim the excellencies of Him who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Back to Malachi chapter 2. Verse 8. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in your instruction. The Old Testament priests instead of leading people to righteousness, instead of pointing people to the Lord, they caused people to stumble. And we do that in our own personal lives when we don't honor the Lord in how we act and how we talk. The lips of the priest should preserve knowledge. And men should seek instruction from his mouth. We're to make the path clear. Not cloudy, not gray, clear. So that people can see it. I've been impressed lately. Spent some time in the book of Jeremiah. It's been kind of a closed book to me. Hadn't really spent any time in Jeremiah. But the first part of Jeremiah is just full of condemnation to Judah. Because Judah had witnessed Israel, the decline and the destruction of their brothers, Israel. And they head in the same path. Same path. Jeremiah chapter 8. There's many places we could go, but we're going to skip over a lot here. We have a situation here where the truth that the prophets and the priests had been given was not applied. It was not applied in their lives. And there was no clear instruction for the truth. And there was a lack of concern about how they lived their lives. Sin, sin was not called sin. It was described in other terms. Let's see. Verse 8 of Jeremiah chapter 8. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. The wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and they are caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what kind of wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others, their fields to new owners, because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is greedy for gain. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone practices deceit. They heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abomination they had done? They certainly were not ashamed, and they did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time of their punishment, they shall be brought down, says the Lord. One thing that is abundantly clear to me when I read through Scripture is that God is not opposed to bring a condemnation on His own people when they don't live properly. Time and time again in the Old Testament, we have stories of this. God bringing judgment upon His own people for their lack of understanding the truth of His Word. Let's turn to Ezekiel, I'm sorry. Ezekiel chapter 22. We'll start with verse 25. There is a conspiracy of her prophets. In her midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey, they have devoured lives, they have taken treasure and precious things, they have made many widows in the midst of her. The priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane, and they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princesses within her are like wolves tearing the prey, by shedding blood and destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have smeared whitewash for them, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, "Thus says the Lord," when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have practiced oppression. They've committed robbery. They have wronged the poor and the needy, and have oppressed the sojourner without justice. I search for a man among them who will build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it. But I found none. Here we have the prophets, the priests, and the scribes. All three of them. Characterized by treachery and greed. And clouding the path. Her prophets have smeared whitewash for them. Going to cover it all up. No real change of heart. No real thought of, where's the Lord in this? Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. You know, in the New Testament, we find out all the many glories that are ours because of the life that is ours in Christ. Made righteous. We make a mockery of being made righteous when our lives tell a different story. That's how we do violence to the law, to the truth of what Scripture says about us. That's how we profane the holy things. When our life isn't right. And when we make no distinction between the clean and the unclean. There's a very prevalent teaching in Christianity today that says that God just loves everybody and just accepts everybody just the way they are. Scripture does not tell us that. It says, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." We come as we are, but we don't stay as we are as believers. We need to lay aside those things. Let's turn. Let's go back to Peter for a minute. I just want to make an observation in Peter that I thought was really good. And I, until this morning, I hadn't ever personally made the connection before. In 1 Peter chapter 2, where he tells us that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, and our responsibility is to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness. He goes on to tell us, keep your behavior excellent. It's in verse 12. Keep your behavior excellent. Verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Verse 16, act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil. Verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters. And then in chapter 3, he talks about how we live in the home. Wives, submissive to your husbands. Husbands, honoring your wives. To sum things up, verse 8, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. This is all responsibilities of the priest here. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you are called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. And then verse 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks of you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. He goes right into talking to us about our priesthood and to how we interact with everybody in our life, whether it's the government or our next door neighbor or our spouse or our children. Got two more passages I'd like to turn to. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Book of Hebrews is elevating our Savior. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than the Old Testament high priest. Verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. So our sacrifice is not a lamb, it's not a goat, it's not a bull, it's not a pigeon, turtle dove. Our sacrifice is praise to God. through Him, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to His name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you sooner. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he says, I urge you to, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. There's a word of exhortation here. And we as priests should be honoring the Lord and giving honor to Him with our mouth. We should be honoring the Lord. That's very difficult to do with a clear conscience when our life doesn't honor the Lord. And maybe that's part of our problem. I had an interesting conversation with a man recently who was very familiar with how we do business here at Trotbrook. And he had some very encouraging things to say, but he also had a very, I thought it was a very, I don't want to use the word good, but it was a great observation, because it really tells us where we are. We're talking about this privilege that we have as believers to proclaim the excellencies of our Lord. And we do this in a very unique way on Sunday mornings here when we remember the Lord. And to him it was clear that not everybody is exercising their gift as a priest in honoring the Lord with their the fruit of their lips, and that it is only done by a select few. And at first he thought it was a selected few. Let's turn to Psalms 34. It's a very familiar psalm to many. Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. This is a Psalm of David. He wanted others to exalt the name of the Lord with him. And let's turn, I didn't tell you the truth, there's actually a third passage. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. Just leave you with this. With these two verses here, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. This should be second nature to us. This should not be new instruction for us, but unfortunately it is. Because we have a tendency to boast in other things other than the Lord. The Lord delights in us to proclaim His excellencies amongst our brothers and sisters and to the world. Can we sing in closing number 58? So we stand before God. Not on the basis of our own righteousness, but a righteousness that He has given to us through His Son. It's a gift that He's given to us. It's not something that we've earned. Some of us are better than others, but all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But through His Son, we have eternal life. As a gift, and not of works, lest no man should boast. Because we have a tendency to want to boast in ourselves and boast of our things and boast of our stuff. And none of that matters. And none of it comes close to the glory of God. So we only get there through His Son. And that's why we proclaim Him to the world. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You today, again, for Your Word that reveals to us Your mind. And You've told us in Your Word that You're not going to allow Your priests to cloud the glory of Your beloved Son. And so we pray that we would be among those who would proclaim the excellencies of Him, and that we would live it out in our lives, that we would honor You in the things that we say and do. And so we ask for Your encouragement. We thank You for it. We thank You for one another that encourages us to go on together. And that we would not be afraid to honor You with our lips. And we just pray for Your blessing on that in our lives today. And we just ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen.